Bible reading is Psalm 20, which can be found on page 553 in the Bibles. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. Here ends the first lesson.
The second reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1187 in your Bibles. So, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Word of prayer. Have compassion, O Lord, on those who are depressed and cast down in spirit. Let your light shine into their darkness. Rekindle them in the lamp of hope. Give them the assurance of your unchanging love and unfailing companionship. And so grant them courage to face life bravely, in the name and strength of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Well, what does the Christian faith say to someone who is depressed? I chose those two readings because there are two verses which I think are rather lovely from our Psalm 20 reading, which Derek read. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. And then from that 1 Thessalonians reading, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Statistics indicate that in England and Wales, 300 out of every 1,000 people in any one year, at any time, will have a problem with mental health in one way or another. Some momentarily for a short time, others as a kind of ongoing thing, maybe from one year to the next. 230 of these will visit a GP. And of that 230, 100 will get a diagnosis of depression. Poor people, those with long-term illness, those with employment problems, are more likely to be affected than members of the general population. I think it's important for us to realize that no Christian is immune to depression. This time when there's a great, great well of a black pit, when we find that coming to church is not for us, we want to be in bed instead. When we find it difficult answering the telephone, when we find it difficult to pray, when God seems far away. Some believe that Christians may be more susceptible to depression, having a greater awareness of their flawed nature and their striving for Christ-likeness. I think there's no reason whatsoever to regard depression as a weakness or a sin. But a lot of people feel ashamed that they can't shake it off. And they're told, oh, you'll be all right when the weather's better. Just snap out of it. Well, if we've been affected by depression, or we know somebody who has, we know that that's not going to pull the right trick, is it? Some people tend to adopt a stoical approach, determined to hide the symptoms from others and just grin and bear it. I hope we shall see that this is not the right attitude. I can remember in the early 1970s, I was involved in the merge of two schools, a large boys' school and a large girls' school. And two or three years after that, we became one of the largest schools in the country with a 13 form entry of 30 pupils in each form. Well, if my maths is correct, that's 390. And two or three years after that, it was the early days of work experience, and I was always involved and loved being involved with careers guidance. And there was I, with a colleague who was elderly and looking forward to retirement, struggling to find work experience placements. They were easier to find then, 40 years ago, than they are now. And I remember going down to an in-service training college at a place called Eversley in Folkestone. And coming home and being utterly, utterly miserable because I'd been with all these people who were working in much smaller schools and they seemed to be coping far better than I. And I got to the stage when I really didn't want to drive up to school 20 miles away, and I was really struggling, but had a lot of support from family and from friends. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't actually use the word depression. The word stress is used, but only really to emphasize a point. But the word distressed appears 116 times. I know because I counted in my NIV concordance. The word anguish is also used in the Bible, but I think it has a slightly different connotation. It's used about 40 times. I'd like to look at this word, distressed, and I'd like to look at a few of the characters from our two testaments. What about Elijah? In the book of Kings, he says, I've had enough, Lord, take my life. And he disappears into the wilderness because he's frightened that the murderous Queen Jezebel is going to be after him. He's plunged into great despondency. But he has dialogue with God. And God assures him that he will be well, that he will get over this awful, bleak, black time. What about David? In our psalm, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. I believe that the psalms, above all scriptures, can bring us great solace when we have a problem. There's so much in them which talks to us. There's much about our distress. David knew about this, didn't he? He knew from his time with Bathsheba and Uriah. And he was always repentant. He was always given grace and forgiveness by his God. And he goes on to say in that chapter of Psalm 20, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed with the saving power of his right hand. Aren't those lovely words? I've asked Rosemary if she would just come and read Psalm 23 for us.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. I wonder how many of you were at the parish away day a couple of years ago at Worth Abbey, and Derek Hills, the retired Baptist minister, spoke to us about shepherds. And he told us a wonderful little story about the evangelist Spurgeon being on a walking holiday with a friend of his in the hills of Wales. And the two of them came across a lad who they spoke to, and it was quite obviously from the conversation with him that he was illiterate. But they said this psalm to him, and they taught him to say, using his fingers, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And they talked to him about God. And he pointed out in the valley below the farm where he lived with his parents. And they came past this farm the year afterwards, thinking that they would go up onto the hills and see this shepherd lad. And they knocked on the door of the farm, and the farmer's wife asked them to go in, and they could see immediately that there was one of those old grainy 19th century photographs on the mantelpiece of this lad. And they said to the lad's mum, oh, we met him last year. And she had a tear in her eye, and she said, well, I'm sorry you can't see him because he died. He got trapped in the snow, but when we found him, he was clutching the fourth finger of his left hand. The Lord is my shepherd. I was very moved by that story because, of course, at the end of that psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many of us have found great comfort from those words? What about Peter, our next character? Surely you are not another of his disciples. And of course he was asked that 3 times, wasn't he? And he denied Christ 3 times. We can only perhaps begin to wonder at the distress which he must have felt. And we know, of course, that over the page of our scriptures, Jesus reinstates him following his declaration of love and called on him to follow him. We all know what a warrior became, what a warrior for Christ Peter was in the early church. The church grew. We've got that wonderful sermon that he gave. What about Paul, his conversion on the Damascus Road? It must have come, I think, as a great shock to him, because there he'd been, persecuting the Christians, being responsible for the deaths, the scourge of them. The Lord sent Ananias to lay his hands on Paul, or Saul, enabling him to see again. The Lord sent Ananias. And from our second reading in Thessalonians, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Our distress and persecution. Paul had been in bad places, but Timothy, who went to Thessalonica, came back with a good report of what was happening there, and this encouraged Paul no end. So our conversation with God, our encouragement from others. Some people say don't listen to the news because it's all bad if you're struggling with depression. Well, I'm not sure if that's an answer, but certainly it can be bad, can't it? Some of you may have read on the first page of our local newspaper yesterday about one of the schools in our patch struggling because it had a bad Ofsted report. It was all negative. And I wonder how the members of staff and governors and children and parents feel having read that very, very negative note in the paper on Friday morning. Sharing our troubles with each other. We may find it difficult if we're depressed, but it is a good answer. To read the scriptures, if we can, to read the Psalms. And I want, last of all, in conclusion, just to think about Jesus. He struggled on the cross, didn't he? He was in distress for a short time on that cross. He knew that that was part of God's plan for him. But when we think of his meetings that he had with all those people who were struggling, I think one of the most wonderful stories in the scripture is the woman at the well. He knew all about her. She told him, but he knew. And I believe that she went away, and I think she would have been rejoicing. And certainly Zacchaeus climbed up into the sycamore tree. Do you remember the little story that we used to read? Zacchaeus was troubled because he'd been taking more money than he should have done. Blind Bartimaeus, seeing for the first time, how marvelous that must have been, how distressed he must have been because he couldn't see. Rosemary's father had been blind for a number of years, and we knew just how distressed that he had been with his blindness. And there was Jesus. What about the crippled man who was let down on a mattress through the roof? And Jesus healed and removed that distress. So our conversations with God our conversations with each other, the support that we can give to anybody who's in depression, anybody who's stressed, can be absolutely invaluable. Amen.